Greetings to everyone. In the opening prayer and in the song services this morning, it was apparent that we're approaching the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. Passover, we think of as being a time when we renew the covenant that we made with God at our baptism. Baptismal covenant. In that covenant, and I'll be addressing in both messages today, the law of God. God had agreed and had prophesied from the book of Jeremiah and then was repeated in the book of Hebrews that He would write His law in our hearts. And so, He did that when we were baptized. And we are to renew it year by year as we come to that covenant and to spend time throughout the year refreshing it as well. We are approaching the spring season of the year, and it is during the spring of the year, which is the first part of the year, according to the book of Leviticus, that we have the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. This is a topical sermonette. It is, the purpose of it is to define sin. As Brian pointed out in the opening prayer, we are to be putting sin out of our lives. And I would argue now, sooner, rather than later. If we're going to put sin out of our lives, can we define what sin is? And if we can, which every one of you should be able to do, define it, can every one of you also tell me exactly where to find that definition in the Bible? Bible definition of sin, and if you don't know this, if you don't know it by heart, then know it by heart after this next few minutes. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 gives us that definition. There John writes to the church, every man that has this hope, what hope is he talking about? Hope of the resurrection. Purifies himself even as he is pure. So as we approach the Days of Unleavened Bread, we are to be purifying ourselves, aren't we? That is part of what we do in getting the leaven out of our lives. We are purifying ourselves. Whosoever commits sin, here's the definition. Why do we need to know the definition? We need to know the definition of sin because we're trying to put sin out of our lives. If we're going to put it out, we have to know what it is. Whoever commits sin transgresses also the law. Sin is, this is a short definition, sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was made apparent, that is, who is he? He is Christ, was made apparent, was manifested, made obvious, brought to is no sin. It's the transgression of the law. We have about 5 weeks, as I counted it, that's the 9th of April, is that correct, Hazel? Is the Passover. And you'll be coming here. I'll be going to Buffalo for the Passover. you'll be coming here to take the Passover, renew the covenant that you have made. And in the time between now and then, this is the way I approach it and understand it, we should be getting the sin out of our houses. I mean, if we look at ourselves as being kind of a house, and we have to clean that house, get the things out of our house, then we should be working on that now, because it should be, by the time the Passover is completed, the sin should be out of our houses. Because the next 7 days, we're supposed to live a, by analogy, sinless, a life where there is no sin in our house. And we have to start that before the days of unleavened bread by having all of that completed before the night to be much observed. And so, it says transgression of the law. We look at the original language, which relates to transgression of the law. The law was written here as anomia, A-N-O-M-I. We use actual A in front of various words to term. We might say, I'm apolitical because I don't participate. And so the A turns the meaning around, apolitical. Anomia versus that meaning. And sin is anomia. It is turning around the law and violating it. Wickedness is what it is. That's maybe the physical definition of sin, but the physical definition is not so important even as is the spiritual definition. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, let us keep the feast. Now, what feast is Paul talking about? It's obvious when you read the rest of the verse what feast he's talking about. He's talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Let us keep the feast, not with old leaven. See, we're supposed to have the leavening out for the days of unleavened bread. That's the reason they're unleavened. Let us keep the feast not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven. Here he defines the symbolism behind leaven, the leaven of malice and wickedness. By the way, the sermon that I gave, which related to the covenant of salt, in that sermon I had, I don't know if I actually put it into the message here, but the opposite of leaven, according to, I think it's Adam Clark, was salt. See, so a covenant of salt. Salt was a preservative. It prevented corruption. Leaven brought about corruption, and so salt was the leaven. Let us keep the feast not with the leaven, not with the old leaven or the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread. Here's bread which is unleavened. And there are four elements that went into unleavened bread, according to the recipe in the Bible there. Flour, water, oil, and salt. Salt. Unleavened product, and something that would put to death the leavening that would be in the... But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So we're supposed to be focusing on that. And in the sermon today, I'll be doing more about what law. Part of the importance of this message is that timing is important. And now is the time for that timing. we can probably, if we're talking just about removing the physical leaven from our physical houses, we can probably get that done the last day. What about my own personal leaven? Can I get that out in one day? It takes a little more time than that, doesn't it? Spiritual leaven, it moves a little bit slower than physical leaven. But to really do a good job of physical leaven, I probably can't do that in a day either. I can go in the cabinet, grab the loaves of bread, throw them in a plastic garbage bag, run up to the corner and throw them in the dumpster at McDonald's and be done with them. But I haven't really got it done all that well when I do that kind of thing, have I? I remember the time when I had getting ready to go for the night to be much observed. We had a pizza about this big that had been brought in by one of our suppliers, and he was feeding the men that worked for us there as kind of a entertainment thing and teaching them a little bit about how to use this product. And he had gone and everybody else has gone, and I was the only person still in the office, and that box with Fudgy's pizza or whatever kind of pizza it was there. And about 85% of that pizza was consumed, but there was still about 15% of that pizza left. If you know our little dog, he was 16. Bad day. I threw the box on the floor, and he was a gluttonous little dog, and he ate all of that pizza, but I got rid of it, and it was just about sundown. I had a call, and Jim Todd's daughter needed help. She had a car that wouldn't start, so I had to go help her, and I threw the pizza on the floor. And that's one way you can deal with the leaven, I suppose. Wasn't the best way. We call Blue Bus the expedition that we have. And in that expedition, I'm getting a little bit of flack these days about eating in that vehicle. And I went through some of the back of it, and I found some cheese, grilled cheese sandwich back there. we go to baseball practice when they get home from school, and there are some remnants of food there, and so those things need to be gotten out. That's all physical, and that's maybe easier than spiritual leaven to get out. What does it take to get out spiritual leaven? We have a booklet, and we've advertised this for years. Five spiritual tools. Things that we can use to get the leavening out of our lives. Prayer, fasting, study, counsel, and the big one, I think, for us as we approach the days of unleavened bread is meditation. We think about ourselves and look introspectively into ourselves and try to find the things that we need to get out. I mean, we'll clean out the bus with a vacuum cleaner, a broom, maybe a plastic bag. If you got to blow something out, you got a compressor, maybe you can blow it out. So we can use those physical tools. But think in terms of spiritual tools to remove spiritual leaven as we approach the days of unleavened bread. Prayer, fasting, study, counsel, meditation. And so let's be prepared for the days of unleavened bread by getting the leaven out starting now.